Oh my God, I'm back. I'm sorry about just, you know, leaving you guys abruptly. Matt made a mistake with his recording equipment and just kept talking for a while and was not recording a bunch of the episodes. So I went back and it kind of ended kind of perfectly because I was just saying how much I liked a movie and it just went away, which maybe it's the universe's way of saying, hey, shut up more often. But just in case you didn't listen to the first episode or know what's going on, because I'm just kind of talking to people at random here, this is part two of Matt had seen a lot of movies, or has a movie. Matt had a movie problem. And I think that's, even the title is wrong, because it should have been Matt has a movie problem, but whatever. Yeah, look at the newest episode of Better in 3D. I'm your host, Matthew James Grenier, and this is part two of a bunch of movies I had seen recently, and I was reviewing them. There were eight total. I got through four and accidentally stopped recording, so it kind of worked out perfect for me. So that happened. So I released that one yesterday, and I'm just going to release the second. I didn't want to put them all both at the exact same time, but here's part two. So I think in the last episode, I reviewed Super Mario Brothers, Scream 6, Air, and Renfield. So I'm going to review my other four movies I had seen just recently, too. Before we get any further, we are the Midwest Premier Movie Drinking Podcast, and I was trying to remember what I drank at those ones, but I just remembered when I saw The Covenant, I had a Bud Light, which is like the first time I had a Bud Light in, like, I don't know, 15, 20 years. I mean, I got to support them now, I guess, because they support my community, but, you know, but it, like, just almost like felt weird because, like, it's still shitty beer, but hey, I did have a Bud Light. I was like, well, you know, after the whole craziness going on, like, if Kid Rock can shoot it with a gun, I can drink it, I guess. I don't know, crazy. But I had that, and I definitely had Blue Moons, and I definitely had some bourbon. And then also remembered I had a sabbatical before we went and saw one of those. Sabbatical is a shot beer combination at one of my favorite bars called Sabbatic. And that is for $5.75. You can get a Pabst Blue Ribbon and a shot of Telmore Dew. So I'm a big fan of Irish whiskey. So if you're asking how, Matt, how do you like your whiskeys and stuff like that? If I'm making a cocktail, I like bourbon. If I'm just, like, sipping it, I like scotch. If I'm taking a shot, I like the Irish. So that's how I break down my whiskeys. I also will just drink bourbon, sipping that too. But usually for me, it's bourbon and seltzer. That's my combo. And then and really, I only drink scotch when it's cold outside. It's like or nighttime. If it's summertime, but I'm outside by a fire like at night, yeah, scotch too is also great too. And then but for taking just straight pulls, I'm either Jameson or Tully guy. Yeah, I like just give me some Irish whiskey, something that burns on the way down. Makes me feel alive. So that's what I had before these drinks. Where the rest of the crew is, I think I kind of capped that in the last episode. But if in case you forgot, Mike is out there in the world trying to do what he always does. He's trying to, there was an ambulance that went by, or cop cars. I could hear them when I was recording. Mike is out there always doing what he's trying to do. He's trying to see every episode of MASH in one sitting. He thinks he can watch them all and not fall asleep. It's not possible. He gets like 17, 18, 19 episodes and he falls asleep. So I don't know why he keeps trying to do that. It seems crazy, but that's what he likes to do. Paul is out there still just trying to invent a time machine. Allison is doing what she does. She's writing the next great American play. And Molly, they, I think they're out there just wandering around malls, just spending time walking malls, like kind of like the 90s, like the grandparents would like do the mall walks, you know, like that, but like in the evening, you know, nighttime mall walking. That's Molly. So that's what they're all doing. They're too busy to record a podcast with me. Speaking of the group, the next episode will be our 200th episode. So I'm really hoping that, the plan is that we're going to get everyone, the whole group back together. We're going to do a special episode. Some theme with twos in it, probably. I don't know. We're going to find something fun. But I mean, it's going to be our first time, I think, all five of us will be recording since, like, I can't remember the last all five or something, Craig. I want to say we were all on the animation episode, but I don't think so. I think Molly wasn't. I can't remember. But that's kind of the plan for that. But so it's coming up. It'll be after this episode, the next one will be episode 200. So it'll be fun. So just letting you know, mark your calendars for that. So, there we go. As far as other movies I've seen, because that's what we're talking about. We're seeing other movies that I have seen. And liked. I said in the last one, almost every movie I saw, I kind of really liked. I'm kind of trying to go in order of how I saw them, but I realized I missed one last time. So I'm going to start with the one that I kind of forgot about last time when I was naming all the movies I saw. The Covenant, the Guy Ritchie movie starring Jake Gyllenhaal. Be fair, I do really like Guy Ritchie, especially his early stuff. Man, I love Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, Rock and Rolla. Some of his later stuff I didn't love as much. I mean, I liked the first Sherlock Holmes movie. His new one, his Return to Form of the Gentleman, just came out, which is supposed to be like in that same theme of those British kind of gangster movies that he does, like modern day gangster movies. That one's actually pretty decent, you know. But I didn't really care for Aladdin. I didn't like the King Arthur movie he made. The second Sherlock Holmes wasn't very good. So he's made some duds in there. But in general, I like Guy Ritchie. This movie is stylistically different than any movie he's ever made. It feels like a traditional war movie. It's a very different movie, because I didn't really feel like the need. I remember seeing the trailer for it, and I felt like, oh, you should have made this like 5 years ago. Like, what's going on? So basically what happens is, because it's about, so Jake Gyllenhaal is a, I believe, a Marine? Or is he, right? I think so. He's I think they're Marines. So the group is, he started as a group of people who are trying to find Al-Qaeda new missions. Like, people are making, like, IEDs like that. And so they need to, like, go into towns and find them, because they make them in the cities. And they get a translator, or interpreter, is what they're called. And they get assigned one. And so the movie actually plays in 2018, almost the end of the war in Afghanistan. And so they were just, so they get this guy. He's a little bit different than their most interpreters, but they also start at the beginning to explain how so many people would work with the American government with promises for visas to go back. And like most people know, you know, we've seen the news when we did pull out, there was people like, we left a lot of them behind. You know, this movie's kind of a little bit about that, which I didn't realize that's what it was going to be about. But it's a different version of it. Like, they're saying, like, we did, like, have all these people, like, work for us, and then we, a lot of them just got left there, you know, like, and then they were going to be, and we all knew they were going to be murdered by the Taliban after the Americans left. So they go to find, they got this one interpreter who's a little bit different. He's a little more cocky. He also, like, he does a lot of things, like, early on that seem strange. Like, he has, like, a bunch of cash, and he's, like, kind of really smart, and he's good with guns. And they tell him, hey, he was a drug runner. His family did, like, the opium trade, like, the heroin trade. But his son was killed by the Taliban, so he joined with the Americans so he could kill them and get his family out. So he kind of hates that. Hates them, and so he's got a wife who's pregnant, and he's going to try to get, like, you know, help them, and he's really smart and clever. He tries to warn about this ambush, and they go through it anyway. But basically, the point of the story is Jake Gyllenhaal's whole team just kind of gets wiped out. He saves them by, like, running across, like, dragging, like, 120 kilometers across the desert, takes care of them. When Jake Gyllenhaal wakes up in the hospital, they're like, hey, you know, you survived, and it's become, like, a famous story about this, like, one American soldier and this interpreter that made it across and, like, evaded the Taliban this whole time. And he's, like, back in America, and they're like, no, he's like, well, what happened to him? He goes, well, we've given the visa, but we can't find him, because there's, like, a death threat on him. So, like, for, like, a month or so, he's trying to, like, talk to anyone, and he can't sleep, he can't get up, because he knows, like, this, he owes this man his life. It's the covenant. He's got to go back there. So he basically kind of goes back himself, and is going to find him and save him and bring him there. So that's the gist of the movie, but, like, it works because it's shot really well, the action's really good, Jake Gyllenhaal is really good. Who's an actor that I guess I just forget how good he is sometimes. Like, but late in the last, like, 7 or 8 projects he's done, like, man, you really are good. He really is. So, I really liked it. I really liked The Covenant. I didn't think I would, because I'm really not a big war guy movie. I just feel like this, it felt like weirdly timed. Like, you know, it's been a while since then. Like, either it was too late a movie or too early a movie. Like, either it should have been out when this was going on, or wait more time between it. But yeah, it's less about, there's politics involved, and mostly it's about, like, the bond between people who are soldiers who owe each other their lives, like how he just had to, you know, do the right, what he needed to do the right thing. I liked it a lot. It's really good. It's called The Covenant. I highly recommend it. Check it out. The next action movie, like, it was a lot of action too. So John Wick 4. I think we did a whole, we talked about the Wick series a lot on the show. We did our Keanu Reeves episode, and then I know we did an episode just on John Wick 3 once with Allison, because she's a big fan of it. So we know that we are fans of Keanu Reeves and of this series in general. So honestly, right now, I liked it. I keep saying I like it a lot, which is weird because I usually kind of shit on stuff. But if you like John Wick series, right, it's good. I think it is the third best. I think the first one's the best. The third one's the next one. And then this one is very close. Two's the one that's got a little bit of a drop off. But it's got great action. Keanu Reeves is as good as ever. It really does wrap up the story in a way that needed to be wrapped. I know they're doing maybe spin-offs of the show or like do a TV show of the show, but like the world, this is the first time, like, I mean, they all get kind of like more crazy and crazy how crazy this world is and the rules of it, what's going on. But the action's top-notch. It's got a good pacing. I mean, I really liked, you know, it keeps going more and more into like the mythology of this world of like killers and assassins and criminals and how their honor works, what's going on. It's good. It's fun. It's everything you want it to be. Like, it does not disappoint. We get back with Winston and the concierge, and we got Lawrence Fishburne, like, you know, the king of the, I don't know if he likes the king of the streets or something like that. I forget his title is, the king of the sewers. But it's fun, and we also get a lot more history of John Wick, like himself, you know, like his friends and the people he knew, and that's interesting too. They have like some of the. You'll know a lot of these actors, some of the best kung fu specialists, like who've been doing movies for a long time. It's great. It's great to see them. It's fun. They've really amped up the bulletproof suit thing. Like, it's become this thing where now, like, they just hold up a suit above their face and they just take, absorbs the bullets. Like, fine. You know, there's a couple times like, all right, so like, whatever. But like, you know, it's overall really good. It's a great scene in Russia with it's a very large man. And it's like playing like poker, it's like out of nowhere. It seems such a weird thing. There's interesting characters. Like, it feels different enough than the other ones. Like, that we're just rehashing it. It really has different mechanics of it, especially with some of the characters. Like, we just get added. Like, there's a lot of characters got added to this movie who have a lot of screen time and make this thing work a lot. And I really, really did like it. So, check it out. I think one of the Skarsgårds plays one of the main villains, and he's branded as the. I forget his name. They have a title for him. Like, he's like the member of the high tables in charge. So, I mean, if you like the other John Wicks, you're gonna love this movie. You're gonna love it. It's right up. It's right on par. Like I said, it's my third favorite in the series. But like, I think 1, 2, 1, 3, and 4 are, and 2. They're all good. They're all really good. I can't say bad things about John Wick 4. What are you gonna do? Oh, here's a movie that I saw that was terrible. I watched the. Ghosted on Apple TV, starring Chris Evans and Ana de Armas, and it's about, it's basically kind of doing like trying to do True Lies or a little bit, if you remember that movie, where he goes, for some reason Chris Evans can't keep a girlfriend because he's super clingy, I guess what it is, like he works as a farmer slash like farmer's market, but he was like, does have his degree in like agriculture. I'm not sure. He's out there. He meets this girl at the farmer's market. It makes it very clear that she doesn't want someone who's like super clingy. Like, she barely takes it, and tells her she travels a bunch of blah, 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 blah. And like, they go on one perfect date, and she doesn't respond to his texts. And then he finds out that she's in London, and he says, I'm gonna go surprise her. And does, and gets kidnapped because they think he's her, because she's a spy and works at CIA. She's a character called the Taxman. And so they get like this kind of like rom-com like action, like, oh, you know, like I get what they're trying to do, but I've seen this a bunch of times. There was a movie called Night and Day, star Cameron Diaz and Tom Cruise. There's This Means War with I can't lose their name right now, but it has Tom Hardy and Chris Pine, and from Sweet Home Alabama, and a bunch of other movies, but I can't forget her name right now. It's gonna drive me crazy. I saw movies like this. I mean, I've seen True Lies. They're all better than this movie. It's fine. It's super passable. It's not offensive anyway. But like, I didn't like it. It was like, I wish I would not have watched it. It probably would get like a D plus. The action's not that great. It's okay. Ana de Armas will be. I mean, they're both charming enough, but it just seems like a weird. Because he also plays, like, he's relatively competent. Like, I guess maybe because he's, like, a man's man, works on a farm, he, like, would know how to use a gun and fight a little bit. But, like, he seems to pick up, like, being, in that world sometimes really quickly and sometimes not. Like, I don't do this kind of stuff. But then he does other things, like, on his spur moment. So, I don't know. It's shitty. Pass on Ghosted. as much as I like Apple TV's shows, I've not been in love with the movies as much as some movies like people really like. I don't know, they've all been kind of hit or miss. I always feel like, not always, but that last streaming service, if you had a really good movie, you'd put it in the theater, so you wouldn't, you know. Actually, take a minute. I love Coda. You know, Coda was great and won Best Actor, Best Picture. So take a bat. There's a good one. It was actually on my top 10 list that year, so, you know, that's what happens. The last movie-ish I saw, I think, this is my last one, is The Evil Dead Rise. I just saw this the other day with some friends. I love that Evil Dead series. I like it a lot. It still keeps the kind of tone of some, like, kind of... It's never to be the Sam Raimi Evil Dead. Sam Raimi is a perfect unicorn that no one else can kind of, like... The combination of horror and comedy and the way that he does it is so unique. It's so hard to replicate. But, like, it does enough in both the Evil Dead, like kind of reboot or, like, sequel one that came out, I think, in 2000... I want to say about 2016. It's been a while. And this is a continuation. It's, like... So it's, like, not a reboot, which I'm really happy. It's like, I guess the last one was a reboot either in those movies. So it just doesn't contain Ash, you know, like the main character from the first three. I like this a lot. It was everything I wanted to be. It was fun. It was gory. It spends time in that world, you know, the Necronomicon. And it sets in a different area. It's, like, in... It's not in a cabin in the woods this time, guys. It's in L.A. In an apartment structure. Felt like Evil Dead inside the Raid Redemption a little bit, you know, just like we're inside the complex, you know, or Attack the Block, you know. I enjoyed it. I mean, obviously these two newer ones are much, much gorier, much more horror than the first three. But, like, I was talking to some friends about, like, out of all these series that are mass, like Scream or Nightmare on Elm Street or Halloween or, you know, Friday the 13th, there are some down, there's some misses. This might be the only franchise with no misses. And you can debate if you like Army of Darkness. I loved Army of Darkness. I was a younger person when I saw it, so it's campiness, it's in more comedy. I think it was funnier. If I'm ranking them in my mind of, like, how, you know, what's the best, and I personally go Evil Dead 2, then I go Army of Darkness. And I actually, more think about it, I actually might like Evil Dead Rise next, and then I'd probably go just the Evil Dead, the 2016, and then the original Evil Dead's my least favorite. But also, they're all A's. They're all great. They're all fun. They're all campy. They're all gory as hell. So, like, it's, you know, it's picking, like, if you, like, I've had people tell me that their favorite one is Evil Dead, the original. I go, okay, fair. No, not one movie in this list if you say, hey, this is my favorite, and I'll tell you why. I might disagree with you, but I'm not going to argue with them. Like, all right, fair enough. You got your reasons, because they're all great movies. This movie takes place, which is not a ton of them in the Evil Dead, but, like, it's children. It's tons of children in this movie. Like, kids, which is different. Like, an earthquake happens, a different Book of the Dead, or you know, part of the series is, like, found, like it's been buried. Of course, some kid finds it and reads from it, and, you know, things, you know, kind of the thing with the Evil Dead movies, everyone kind of dies, kind of, except for a couple of people. Because they were children, I didn't think so many of them were going to die. But they're like, well, there's like one kid. The rest are teenagers, you know. So it's not like little kids are dying. But, you know, that's happening. I really, really liked it. I had such low expectations. I don't know why. Just something about it made me feel like, oh, what is this? What am I seeing here? Especially them. And then also I started seeing reviews and people are liking it. I'm like, okay, this might be pretty good. It might not be good. Who knows? But, yeah, I enjoyed it. I really liked some of the gore in it. I really liked some of the kill scenes. I think the Evil Dead... I mean, I don't know if you guys out there... Like, I loved Ash vs. Army of Darkness, the TV show on Starz. It had a little bit of that feel, a bit. Like, because, like, we don't... A lot of the movies are not, like... Obviously, Army of Darkness takes place in, like... like, in the past, or time travel. And the rest are, like, in, like, cabins in the woods. This felt like, let's flush this world out a little bit more. You know, let's get it out in the world. Let's, you know... Let's see what it's like in an urban setting, and I like that quite a bit. It was a real interesting take on it. I was pleasantly surprised, and I hope it does well because I want to make more of them. Like this is where the franchise is going. Let's keep doing it. Let's be Chucky about it. Let's get weird. Let's go to asylums and stuff like that. That's one thing that a horror franchise can do. They can go weird places. You can get Jason X. You can get Hellraiser in space. You can get a lot of crazy stuff. You can get Leprechaun in the Hood. Things can get strange and weird. And I feel like The Evil Dead is such a strange, weird, like tone anyway. They never really felt the need to go that way. But let's take this on the world. Let's see what happens, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, The Rise. Surprising how much I liked it. Like, I this is obviously a two-part thing. There's 8 movies I talked about, and a couple of them were really good, and some were like just kind of good. But, like, this was by far my most pleasant surprise. Like, oh, yeah, awesome. You know, like, Scream 6 was, you know, fine. It was better than Scream 5, but it wasn't that great. You know, like, I really liked John Wick and Air, but, like, man, something about being... Something better than going to see a movie and exceeding expectations, like, by a lot. And I was expecting a solid, you know... Horrors like pizza, even the bad ones are good. You know, so I wasn't, like, too worried about it. Like, I'll enjoy it. But this one was, it was great. I really liked it. I liked the runtime. I liked the special effects. I liked the way they made it. Like, the reason the cabin ones always work is it's, like, small and, like, you're kind of stuck in there. But the whole time, you're like, just get out and run away. You know, that's the kind of thing. But like, the second they were stuck in this, like, apartment because of an earthquake, they couldn't get out. Like, this apartment complex, it was a different set piece for it, and I liked it quite a bit. So, yeah, The Evil Rise. Watch it. Love it. Learn what's great about it. So, yeah, this is the second part of this two-parter, which is so weird because it would have been in my normal hour episode if I'd done it together. But now we're going to 2.5 hours, which is, you know, which is fine. Fine. I just want to, like, so, a couple things out there if you're listening. Mike's documentary is out, Behind the Bucket. We're doing some showings, but it's going to be coming somewhere soon near you, hopefully. But, like, if you see online, you can follow it, and please support it. It's a great movie. They won the Austin Revolution Film Festival, so. And, you know, I guess I could say our movie. They made me a producer, which I feel like I conned them into making that happen without even asking them. Just maybe my puppy dog eyes. But that's out there. But so you can follow Mike on social media at just Mike Detterman on every social media. And then they are the Behind the Bucket doc is what they are on, like, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and that kind of stuff. So support them out there. You can always find Allison at Thistle_Wick on Instagram and Twitter. You can find Paul at Paul_Draws on Instagram. You can find Molly at Wilmo Baggins on Tumblr and Instagram. And you can find me as, Not That Maddie on Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter, and Matt Greener on Facebook. You can also follow our sister podcast, Peg with Paul. It's me and Paul, you know, play cribbage and get goofy with it and just have fun with it. You can find that on, you know, wherever you listen to this, they'll have that, where there's both of them. There might be some new podcasts, stuff coming down the line for me and things like that. I'll keep more apprised, but, like, it's exciting things are coming, so I'm excited about that. But like I said, this is going to be our 200th episode next. I can't believe we're doing 200. I mean, we've been doing this since 2018, so it's been a while, so I guess it makes sense. But, like, if you guys want to hear some things like that, I mean, I'm not going to say, like, the podcast is ending by any sense of the word, but it's definitely going to slow down a little bit. We're going to probably pick and choose. I try to give you guys content, you know, monthly, at least 2-3 times a month, but, like, it's going to be just, like, what we want to do, just because all the legends are so busy and things like that, but we'll still be around. But, like, the 201 feels like a real kind of crowning achievement, and after that, you'll see us, but it won't be as frequent because Peggy and Paul's really taken off, and it's also, we have another project coming out, but we'll still be out and around, so don't worry about that. But, you'll at least hear us from us at least monthly. It won't go more than a month, I was talking about. So, but, maybe not as many per month. But, you know, who knows? Or this will be a lie, and things I might be just going to, you know, I say, every time I think we're going to slow down, something happens, reinvigorates us, and we start putting out a bunch of episodes. So, that's all coming. But, until next time, just keep seeing the movie theater, and bye.